Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Gabe Ramirez.
My BetMGM account is going crazy right now. Ever since the NCAA tournament, I've just been fortunate enough to be pulling off a few victories.
Anthony Heron.
Philly!
On 670 The Score, in Odyssey Station.
Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score along with Anthony Heron, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I feel like the intro was a throwback. Back in the day when they used to care about us and made intros for us. I'm looking at you, Tyler Buterbaugh.
Been a minute.
I'm looking at you.
Hey, it's been a while since all three of us have been together.
Yeah. Okay. I heard that. I was like, damn, I remember that. First got to 670 scores, getting new intros every damn 2 weeks.
Yeah, you were spoiled. All the way back in 2022. We're in a whole new year since any of that went off.
Yeah, but here we are, man, hanging out. Again, we're not doing a Miller Lite Top Draft show. We're not doing any Bears Unleashed. We're just getting a chance to hang out for some hours here on the Scores Sports Radio. Feels good right now.
Feels so good, man. Reunited, no doubt. Looking forward to the next 3 hours. There's a lot to talk about, too, whether it's Bears or Bulls or Paris, France, and just how the New Year's been treating us so far. I saw you the other night on the Sports Zone.
Yeah.
That guy, Lou Kanellis, getting that in. Had the tie on, too. I'm not sure I've ever seen you in, like, a legit necktie before. You look real official out there.
Out here trying to look like a real sportscaster, Anthony Heron. What do they say? If you want the part, you got to look the part for you. What you want.
That's
whatever
right.
The hell they say.
Yeah, man.
It was funny because
you got a dress for dress for the job you want.
There
something
it is.
Like that.
Thank God, you know what I'm talking about. So it's funny because Lou Kanellis hits me up, right, and he's like, "Hey, Gabe, you think you can come in, Cassie? You know, whatever." And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You know, I'd love to have you in studio." He's like, "But if you want to do it via Zoom," and I've done Sports Zone on Fox, you know, via Zoom, but I'm chilling at the crib, got a hoodie on, feeling good, you know, have a beer next to me. And Lou's like, "You know, if you can come in though." That'd be great. Free parking on Michigan Avenue, whatever. And so I said, okay, you know, by 10 o'clock, the kids are down. I don't feel too terrible.
Right.
And then I had to go into my closet because, like you mentioned, I had to wear a suit or, you know, felt like that was necessary. And so I pull out this.
And you don't mind dressing up a little bit, but, you know, there was something more official about the way you looked on Sunday night.
Well, what was funny is that the first suit that I pulled out, I, like, grabbed it and I was like, yeah, this looks legit, right? And I pull it out and then I put it on. And then I was like, damn, has it been that long since I've worn a suit? Because this don't fit me anymore. And I'm like, oh, my God. So then I try to grab, like, you know, what I once thought was the biggest suit in my closet. And that one's now fitting me snug. And I'm like, what the hell? So then I'm like, you know what? I didn't really want to wear a black suit, you know, because you always got that one black suit that you just, you know, it's going to hold you down no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's got one of those.
And that's where I was. And then I took a tie and a little handkerchief that my sister brought me, and then thank God I didn't have to button up the jacket though. That was the number one thing right there.
You know what, man? The kids ain't buttoning their jackets these days anyway, man. If they do, it's just like the one button, and then you get the suit that's cut like with the little V, yeah, and it kind of flares out towards the side.
But Lou tried to play me, though, because he had the double-breasted, and it was buttoned. So I felt even worse because I was like, damn.
Well, you know, Lou stay in the gym. Yeah. You know, Lou out there trying to stay like a young man, yeah, out there. Keep
he's fit. He's fit. So needless to say, shout out to Les Mills. I've been doing some body pumps at the crib for the last 3 or 4 days, just trying to get the belly down.
I don't recall if we've discussed this on the air or not before, man. You're not still weighing yourself every day, are you? Are we outside that habit? Have we kind of gotten to a healthier space with that, just mentally, just knowing that, you know what, just live a healthy lifestyle. Just practice good habits. You got to be on the scale every day.
Yeah, you know, now I just do it every other day instead of
That's very mild improvement.
Yeah, you know.
Just for what I view as improvement.
You know, I did it
Any
for you.
Of you out there, maybe I'll check the text line a little bit later. Anybody out there who's weighing themselves every day, listen to me. Just listen to the sound of my voice. Stop it. You were doing yourself a disservice stepping on that scale every day. Jot down what you want to eat. If you're doing a point system, whatever you're doing, pay attention to what you're consuming, how you're living, what calories you're burning, all that other kind of stuff. Stepping on the scale every single day has always, in my opinion, done more harm than good. Weigh yourself once a week, tops. Hell, weigh yourself once a month. Stop stepping on the scale every day.
Anthony Heron at Orange Theory, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check him out this week. He's going to have you settled up.
I get you right.
But everything really good.
Man, I'm leaving the country, by the way, in like a week and a half. So I got to get myself right, man. I got to get this shred on real quick.
Where are you going?
A couple weeks ago, football season coming to a close. You know, all the college stuff is done. Bears season is at a close. And literally the next day, I think it was after we got done, like I did a bunch of the bowl coverage around the college football playoff, all that other stuff. And then the Bears season ended, whatever that was, on the 8th. So, yeah, like a week and a half ago, I guess, my wife's like, you know, now that you're done. And we usually love traveling anyway, but she's like, you know, we got to go somewhere, right? Like, okay, cool. Yeah, we definitely got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Where you want to go? It's like, well, wait. I don't mean like we're going to take like another trip, bigger trip, you know, later on. We'll figure that out. I mean, we got to leave the country by the end of the month. Like, wait a minute. You know, we're like in mid-January already. Where are you trying to go within a couple of weeks?
Anywhere.
We'll figure it out.
Right. Anywhere.
Yeah. So we ended up settling on what did we do? Last year we did Costa Rica, but we gave ourselves a couple months from that. Where the hell are we going? Cabo. That's where we're going.
Okay.
Cabo San Lucas. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Los Cabos. Okay. That'll be a
little
new
tequila,
one for us.
A little mezcal.
There will definitely be some of that being consumed. We found a spot with a kids club, so the youngster will be handled in that manner. He'll have plenty of people his size and his age to hang out with. Mom and daddy going to get it in, too. It will be a fun time being had by all.
That's what's up, man. Well, that means we got to put you to work right now extra hard so that way you can really feel like you deserve those days.
Hey, I'm here.
And
I'm here.
I got a way to do it. And you know me. I'm all about solutions, not problems.
Mm-hmm, right.
And we got a couple minutes right here before we take our first break. Excuse me. And I was I was searching around and looking at the free agents that were out there.
Okay.
For the Bears. Because I was like, you know, I'm tired of people making these arguments and not saying what kind of guys are out there, what kind of talent is out there, or even if they would be good fits for the Bears. So I got some names. I got some people that are out here that are going to be free agents. And I was curious your thoughts on them. So what I did was I'm going to go from the guys that have most recently signed their most expensive contract.
Oh.
Right. And then we'll go down the list until they become like a little bit more affordable.
Okay.
And where they go in those places.
So we're not starting at the bargain rack. We're gonna start with like the most expensive stuff.
I got money to blow, and Heron.
Top shelf.
I got
top
money
shelf.
To blow. Right. I got paid. My pockets are fat. And I'm not out here trying to get any Mad Dog 2020. I want the real stuff, okay?
I feel you.
So someone that stands out, because I'm thinking offensive line first. That's the first group that comes to mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a guy like George Fant from the New York Jets. And I look at him. Now, he's 30, and I'm trying to think. And I've grabbed these guys specifically, Ant, because I look at a guy like George Fant. He plays right tackle, right? He signed he's coming off of a $9 million contract, but he's 30. So my question to you, right, because I think this is a good baseline for where we should be thinking as Bears fans, mm-hmm, is that too old for you as an offensive lineman, as a former NFL player, someone who understands these positions better than most? Is that too old for you to be paying that type of money? Or do you think that that's someone that kind of like, yeah, that's a guy. That could be a guy, 30 years old, going to be costing you about $10 million a year, and you feel confident in someone like that?
Now, I would not eliminate him just based off the age. Because at the age, at 30, especially, you know, playing offensive line, you could still be in good shape well into your 30s. You know, we just saw that recently here in Chicago. Jason Peters was 40, and he 2 years ago was the Bears' best offensive lineman and is right now still in postseason football playing pretty effectively for the Cowboys. We just saw last weekend. So the age wouldn't necessarily be the deterrent. The film, there could be some concerns there. You know, the couple of years he's been with the Jets here, and, you know, the Jets just have a tattered, piece together shoehorn of an offense with a quarterback who didn't know what in the world he was doing for a lot of the season. And that can affect everyone's performance when your play calling is inconsistent, when your decision making at quarterback is inconsistent, you got some guy running around everywhere. Then, you know, the way you're graded can be affected, the way your film is evaluated can be affected for everyone, for the offensive line, for the receivers, you name it. So maybe if the Bears feel like this is someone whose mentality suits what we're looking for, if his mobility and athleticism suit what we're looking for, and we feel he'd be an upgrade over where we're at right now, then, yeah, maybe we feel like, you know what, let's get a different guy in here to play some right tackle. If we feel great about Braxton Jones on the left, or, you know, with either tackle, if you feel good about what George Fant brings to the table, the age wouldn't be a deterrent. It would be the film. Do you think he's still got enough game at this stage of his career to come in and be an upgrade for you? Then, yeah, I think you're in a position right now where it doesn't have to be just some other young developmental guy who you're hoping can come in and eventually become good. I think next season you want to bring in some offensive linemen that you feel like day one, that's a starter, that's an upgrade from where we're at.
It's funny because I didn't know I was starting there. You know, I just knew I was starting offensive lineman, and he was at the top of the list. And one of my good friends, Josh, he's listening right now, and he's a Jets fan, big time Jets fan. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, Fan, he sucks. And I'm like, okay, I was trying to have a baseline of guys for that position, but I'm glad that we got some insight from someone that actually is a fan of his. All right, here's someone else. Here's the next guy I got for you. And an age, I'm curious where you're at in age when it comes to this position and this particular guy, Marvin Jones, 32, played for Jacksonville, you know, this season, $6 million contract, seems very, very affordable. But is that a guy where you say, like, nah, 32, 33 over the hill, not sure we're going to get in that space, I'd rather not? Or is that someone that you think, you know, Bears might be taking a look at?
You know what? Again, I guess even at receiver, because right now the Bears are in a position where having a receiver who can come in and upgrade their room, you would think in theory shouldn't be difficult. But this is one of the things you and I have discussed at times throughout the season. Part of why they went out and got Chase Claypool is because it's not viewed as a deep free agent crop of wide receivers. So anyone who's a free agent right now won't likely definitively come in and upgrade your room. Not like somebody who's been highly productive in their pro career so far. That's just not what this free agent crop is going to have available. Now, the draft cycle is a bit of a different story. And with the draft capital the Bears may have the potential to accumulate, then maybe even making a trade. But as far as a guy like Marvin Jones, who has some physical tools, who has made some plays throughout his career, but he's not a guy who you say can come in and you just say, you know what, that's our no doubt, surefire number one guy. He's into his 30s. He's still got, you know, plenty of skill available to him physically. But what's the price tag going to be to bring him in? And how do you necessarily feel like he suits everything else that you're trying to do within this offense? Because like we talked about with Chase Claypool and a variety of other guys, the receiver position within this Luke Getsy offense is intricate. You know, you're going to be asked not only to line up in a variety of spots, you'll be asked to block in a lot of those positions that you're lining up in as well. You'll also potentially, you know, be an extension of the run game. So there's a lot that would go into that. So do you feel like Marvin Jones can come in and be a piece of that and come in at a, you know, at a reasonable price? Then he's worthy of being added. I think, you know, on a similar type of contract, maybe not a full-on prove-it deal. He's been in the league for a decade. He's made a number of plays, but he's not someone who you come in and say, all right, the Bears finally got their number one receiver.
All right, this is why I'm asking, because if Marvin Jones ends up being signed, they want to know, you know, should we be disappointed as a fan base? But I got some more guys for you that I'd love to talk about on the other side. I also want to talk about the phenomenon that is Chicago Bulls basketball and their fandom that exists across the pond. I want to talk about that as well. We'll get a chance to do that. But first, Ant, we get a chance to hear from Our guy Joe Ostrowski, of course, brought to you by BetMGM, going to be telling you about where you should be laying your money.
Hello, Gabe. Joe Ostrowski here as we go inside the numbers presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Over in Paris, the Bulls covered as 7.5-point favorites this afternoon against the Pistons, and the under hit by a couple of points. Diving into this weekend's divisional round, it isn't just about sides, totals, or player props. You could take a look at the highest scoring team of the weekend, lowest scoring team. How about Super Bowl MVP? Will there be a shutout? Safety? Overtime game? Will a non-QB throw a TD pass? Or will one of those big uglies up front get into the end zone? On the NFC side, it's the Eagles and Giants for the third time this season. Philadelphia, the 7.5-point favorite at BetMGM. Jalen Hurts off the injury report completely, and offensive tackle Lane Johnson good to go, but cornerback Avante Maddox has been declared out. Bird's backup running back Boston Scott has 10 touchdowns against the Giants, so Scott anytime TD, a popular prop between 3 and 4 to 1. The Niners -4 versus the Cowboys. San Fran riding an 11-game winning streak, and this will be Dallas's fourth consecutive road contest. The 49ers get extra rest. The boys, short rest after playing Monday. No doubt Brock Purdy's toughest test following a perfect 6-0 start. In the AFC, it's Andy Reid off the bye. The Chiefs are favored by 8.5 against the Jaguars. Reid is 28-6 straight up, 21-13 against the spread with extra time to prepare. KC won by 10 earlier this season. Bills -5.5 hosting the Bengals on Sunday, and Cincinnati is missing 3 starting offensive linemen. Buffalo relatively healthy. Joe Burrow has covered 8 in a row as an underdog. Josh Allen has 5 interceptions in his last 3 games. And the odds suggest that there are 5 players in the mix for the number 1 pick in the NFL draft, currently owned by the Bears. Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud remain the top 2 favorites. Will Anderson and Jalen Carter plus 650. QB Will Levis has entered the chat at plus 750. Catch me tomorrow on Bernstein and Holmes at noon to break down the NFL's divisional round right here on The Score. I'm Joe Ostrowski, taking you inside the numbers presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I mean, being out here has been great, the whole experience. My family's been here. We've been doing things as a group. The culture, the fans, obviously, the environment, you know, it was electric. And obviously, capping off with a win, it was great. So, you know, we played the right way. You know, it was a little sluggish in the beginning, but it was good.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
A little bit of Zach LaVine talking about the Bulls' victory today over the Detroit Pistons. That one happening in Paris, France. The Arco Arena. Bulls taking it 126-108. 108, good. 108, mate.
Was that going to be a French accent that evolved into an Australian accent?
I don't know what the hell happened right there. The big three, though, killing it. DeMar DeRozan putting up 26. Zach scoring 30. And then Vooch with another double-double, 16 points, 15 rebounds. Bulls being able to balance things out despite not having DeMar DeRozan over the last couple of games. Now, Ant, I've never been to Paris. I hear it's all I hear, though, is that, like, the urban culture over there is just really, 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 really cool.
It is, man. There's an outstanding food scene. There's a great art scene there. And the music scene is just phenomenal, whether it's, you know, more kind of cultured, classical kind of stuff you might go check out during the day, or if you want to go hit the club scene at night. My wife and I went. It's been probably a good 15 years ago now, something like that, when we went to Paris. The very first time we went to Europe and had an outstanding time. But that was probably the thing that maybe caught us most off guard, was we knew we're going to be able to get into some food and some museums and just a lot of the architecture in different places. But the music scene was a lot better than we anticipated, with all different types of music, you know, from all over the world, whether you're into rock or, you know, rap, R&B, you know, pop music, both, you know, stuff we would consider domestic here in America. And they got their own, you know, kind of Parisian versions of both pop and hip hop music, man. There was a group called, I think they're called like Fatal Bazooka, was kind of like the French Beastie Boys over there, man. It was something else, just to check out a lot of the different stuff while we were there. But we did, man. We had a great time. And it seems like while the Bulls have been there, that they've been able to kind of experience a lot of the Parisian culture. And that clip Tyler played from Zach LaVine talking about the family going with him, that's what you would hope for a trip like this, especially just being in the thick of the regular season, that there's a good balance of being able to go over there, kind of spread the NBA gospel, essentially bring the brand of the Bulls over there, bring the brand of the NBA. And between the two ball clubs, the Bulls are obviously the bigger brand between the Bulls and the Pistons going over there. So not only do you get to go and get a dub, but there's enough time kind of surrounding each end of the trip where you go and kind of get something culturally out of it as well. It sounds like the Bulls have been able to do that.
Yeah, and it was awesome to see, like you mentioned, you know, them having an opportunity to enjoy the city just on their own prior to playing in the basketball game. And, you know, I mean, geez, when do you get an opportunity like that? But it was really cool because, you know, the Pistons had a home. It was their home game. They had their PA announcer and everything. But every time the Bulls made a bucket, the crowd was just going crazy, right? That was so cool to see, because I think we often forget how powerful the brand of the Chicago Bulls is. It's decades ago, right, that the Bulls were relevant at that level. And, are you imagining a scenario where, like, there's some, like, Parisian dad that's sitting there with his son and being like, yeah, son, I've been loving this team since Mike in the night. Like, am I like a bizarro land thinking that? No. Or that's what's happening, right?
I think so, man. I think that's exactly what was going on. Because you think back to even the early 90s when the Bulls were just beginning that first three-peat. That was when the Dream Team, you know, went over and had the Olympic run. And so the brand of NBA stardom was spread globally in this enhanced manner during that point. You know, like, you know, Croatia had good basketball. There was some spots around the globe that were playing the game at a high level. But it went full-on global with the Dream Team, having Mike and Magic and Bird and just every one of the main stars in the NBA being a part of that first Dream Team in 92. And, of course, Jordan was the biggest star of that crew. So, I mean, we're talking 30 years ago at this point, but when you think about it, that's where, you know, we're now able to see over this last decade here where the international level of play has risen so much, and now you get a lot of the best players in the NBA are international players. Well, there were a number of stars, like Drazen Petrovic is the first name that kind of pops into my head.
Arvydas Sabonis.
Exactly, man. There've always been, well, not always, but certainly for our lifetime, there's been for decades now quality international players, but international ball is deep now, and the NBA bringing the Dream Team over and the success of the Bulls, that was a huge part of that, and Michael Jordan's international superstardom was a big part of that. And so now you have people all around the world who've grown up being fans of the Bulls and fans of the NBA because of the Bulls right. and because of Jordan starting with the Dream Team. And so I just think we see where now there's multiple generations of international fans that were really birthed because of the popularity of the Bulls during that time in the 90s.
Yeah, we saw it firsthand before the game. You know, Tony Parker was speaking to the crowd. Of course, he got a big reaction. Mm. And then, you know, Vooch got to show off his French a little bit. That was pretty cool. And then they gave the mic to Killian Hayes, you know, guard from the Detroit Pistons. And he's a young guy from, you know, the suburbs of France. And obviously it felt good to be in his hometown seeing that thing happen. So it was really cool to be in that place and really just experience it. And like you mentioned, right, where the Bulls and the Pistons in that moment tasked with bringing the game across the pond, right? Talking to, you know, to these countries so they can be like that. But let's talk real quick about the traveling part. Mm. Because you could think, I mean, what there were 6 hours ahead. So, like, as an athlete, what kind of, like, because to me as a casual fan, I'm like, man, get your ass up, start playing some basketball. It doesn't matter what time it is. I don't want to hear this. Uh-huh. But I know I'm wrong in there, right? That does take some time for the body clock to kind of get back in rhythm, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It is. Like for me, even when I was in Atlanta with the Falcons, we played a preseason game against the Colts over in Tokyo. So we went all over to Japan.
Wow.
Man. Yeah. And it's a huge difference for your body clock. And so just think about, you know, when, you know, anybody who's trying to participate in athletics or stay on a consistent workout schedule. So even just put it through the lens, anybody listening right now, of if you stay up late the night before, or if you go and have some tequila the night before, and then you get up and you're like, you know what? Normally I try to get my workout in the morning, but I just don't really feel it today. My body's not quite right. But think about where if you are 6 hours different, or if you're 8 hours different, several hours different from where you're normally operating, and you have the international jet lag of being on a plane for that long, when you get there, the effects that has on your body. And now you have to show up and try to compete at a high level. When I was with the Falcons, we went over to Tokyo. We went out there almost a full week in advance just because the time zone is so different. And then you're playing football, you know, kind of the ultimate violent physical collision sport. You're playing what's a preseason game, but still, you know, you want players to go over there. One, you do have other responsibilities that are going to be there where you're going to local events. You are trying to spread the international brand of the sport and the league that you're over there representing. You're going to have some cultural events and have some opportunities to kind of, you know, get some of the local vibe in, both with your free time and with, you know, specific events that have been arranged by the league that you're over there with.
Mm-hmm.
And also, by the time you actually are prepared to play in the game, now you're hoping that being there several days in advance, your body has regulated to the schedule of that local community that you're in. You play the game. All right, let's rush home and try to get back to domestic time, get back to American time. What happened to me, man, we went to Tokyo. They actually gave us on this long flight, whatever it was, probably like a good 15-hour flight or whatever going to Tokyo. They actually gave us boxes of I'm saying boxes, plural, but each of us individually had a box of Ambien that they gave us to take on the plane, and it was actually supposed to land to last us throughout the week. The thought was, those initial days, we give you a few Ambien in a box, take one on the plane to help knock you out, like at a prescribed time. You know, the training staff, the doctors and everybody had gotten together and kind of come up with a sleep schedule to get us as quickly regulated as possible. Now, for me, I've never been a big sleeper. I'm a night owl. I love movies. So we get on this plane on whatever it was, 747, some kind of double-decker deal. We all got our own, you know, like personalized TVs. You can order every movie under the sun. So I have access to this TV, have access to bottomless food, beverage. And then they close the shutters and they say, all right, go ahead and pop an Ambien and go ahead and get this first segment of sleep in. Even though it's still daylight out the window, but they closed all the shutters and said, all right, go ahead and go to sleep. Pop one Ambien and go ahead and shut it down. I popped an Ambien. Did nothing for me. Popped a second Ambien. Uh-oh. A little while later. Did absolutely nothing. I'm just up the entire flight just watching movie after movie, eating. By the time finally, like, the announcement gets made that we're getting ready to land in Tokyo, now I'm finally yawning. You know, I got kind of, you know, getting crusty-eyed and everything. Once we're actually finally getting ready to touch down, I stayed awake virtually the entire flight Now I'm just a zombie when we land in Tokyo. So it took most of the week for me to really get my body right in time to actually be ready and able to perform in the game, let alone have a productive week on the practice field. So there is a lot that can kind of go into actually your body being prepared, because the experience involves so much aside from actually like what you're accustomed to doing is trying to be at your peak physically.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, obviously I think it's the toll of having to do all the other obligations that kind of get in the way, right? It's not like you're just going to go chill in your hotel room and let your body acclimate. Like, you have other things to do. So that in itself is making you more tired than you actually are, right? So that's got to be difficult in itself. But it's cool that the NBA gives these guys opportunities. And you know what? We got to shout out the Chicago Bulls and the organization for just what they've done for the other people that went out there, right? Like, if you're looking at the staff, like Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, Alyssa Berger, Minnie, like, everyone that was able to go out there, you saw Casey Johnson out there, Joe Colley, like, that's an experience of a lifetime for a lot of people. So it was just really cool to see the Chicago contingent out there. And, you know, everywhere on my social media, I had friends that went out there to go to the game.
Yeah,
oh, man, I got a friend of mine, his name is DJ Ozone, one of the dopest on the north side, or in the city, I should say. They booked him to do a show out there, like, during the Bulls week. So it's like the Chicago Paris takeover. Like, so it was happening everywhere. So just, I don't know, it made you feel really cool as a Chicagoan to know that your city was being celebrated, you know, out there in France. But just
I happened to be over at the NBC Sports Chicago studio today when they were getting ready to do the pregame show with, you know, Golf and Kendall, Will. They were all in studio over there. So I saw them in the midst of that. They're a little bit disappointed, you know, that they weren't a part of the Parisian contingent over there. You know, they stayed stateside to get it in, and they of course did great work pregame, halftime, postgame, like they always do. But you know, I'm saying I feel them. You know, I would have rather they were able to be over there taking part in things as well. So maybe next time the Bulls go international, they'll be able to get the fellas over there with them too.
All right, shout out to the crew, man. Kendall, Will Perdue. Of course, Jason Goff, the ringleader over there. I'm sure they'd want to be in Paris, just like the majority of the people out there. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score, and we get to continue the conversation of these Chicago Bulls. One of our very own, Cody Westerlin, is going to be joining us talking about the game and, of course, maybe some rumors that are out there for some roster changes for the Chicago Bulls. We'll discuss that one specifically regarding LeBron James after the break. It's Gabe, it's Anthony. 670 The Score.
Four on the clock. Burks against Jones. Brushes him off. And the pass bobbled by Livers. And a turnover for Detroit with the clock expiring.
Well, Livers forgot the onions.
Yes, he did. How do you say onions, baby onions in French?
Onion, baby onions.
Okay.
Is that not how you say it? I'm just curious because I'm just curious.
I think that's pretty accurate.
I think it's how it goes. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score. That was Bill Wennington, Chuck Swirsky with the call right there. As heard on 670 earlier today, Bulls defeating the Detroit Pistons 126-108. I don't know why in the back of my head I felt like I just spoiled it for somebody. Like they were going to go home. Well, why are you listening to The Score then if you didn't want to get the score of the game? All right, now I feel better. All right. To talk about this very game and other things we want to discuss surrounding the team, joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports books. He is our Chicago Bulls insider for Odyssey. Of course, it is Cody Westerlin. Are you salty that you weren't out in Paris as well, Cody, or what?
You know, it would have been nice, but I will not file a formal complaint or take the matter up to HR. I do understand.
Cody, it's funny because everybody you talk to, you know, they always they try to soften the blow, but like whatever they come up with is terrible, right? He's like, oh, dude, you saw you didn't go to Paris? You know, I had some stuff to take care of. I was like, shut up. you know, you wish you were in Paris watching this game. All right, well, let's talk about the obviously reinsertion of DeMar DeRozan into this lineup today. How do you think the Bulls did with just kind of finding their rhythm again?
Yeah, you know, they took care of business, and anytime you're coming back from a quad injury like DeMar was and you can score 26 points on 50% shooting from the field, like, that's a pretty good job. I think we all saw his explosive dunk early in the game. That was a really good sign for him and the Bulls, because look, sometimes those injuries, you can come back but you don't have your same explosiveness, and it seemed like he did. And look, he's not an above the rim player or anything, so that's not the name of his game. But it felt like he was healthy, felt like he was integrated back in the offense. I thought there early, a little bit in the first half, DeMar and Zach a few times traded some mid-range shots and the ball kind of stuck. But other than a couple short stretches like that, it felt like it was kind of back to normal. And they played through Vooch early there in the first quarter, and then Zach and DeMar kind of led the way the rest of the way.
That was going to be my question, Cody. It leads into it well, specific to Vooch, because so much of the time that Vooch has been here in Chicago, I feel like the same question has lingered. Just what is the best way to use him? And if it is through the post, then why doesn't it happen more consistently? And, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to let Billy Donovan off the hook for that, but obviously he's not on the court with the guys dribbling the basketball. So is there anything about we've seen the last couple of games here, one without DeMar DeRozan and now today with DeRozan in Paris, that would lead us to believe that maybe the Bulls will start to operate more consistently, even with the health of the ball-dominant players of DeRozan and LaVine, where they say, you know what, Vooch has got to stay a part of this offense?
Yeah, you know, and to start this, it should be pointed out, Vooch is shooting about 52% this year, which is the highest mark of his career going into today. He was pacing for that. So I know offense has been exploding this year in the NBA, so a lot of people's numbers are up a little bit, but he's significantly improved this year for the Bulls. So when he does get his opportunities, he's been doing a pretty good job. And I think if you look back to the 43-point game against the Warriors on Sunday at the United Center when DeRozan was out, Vooch was just raving about how he got the ball in the spots he wanted. And to be clear, like, it's not traditional post-ups is not what he's really talking about. If he has a mismatch, sure, and he did against the Warriors a few times. But Vooch likes to catch the ball on the move a little bit. He likes the others to create a little bit of space for him because he feels like he's a very good passer, and he's certainly a willing passer for the Bulls. So when he gets the ball with a little bit of space and can do one dribble and then finish near the rim or kick or keep it moving to the next guy, Vooch likes doing that. He doesn't just want to only be a pick and pop guy or just go down on the low block. So I think that's what he was referring to, more of getting the ball on the move, whether it's out of pick and roll, whether it's kind of just other guys on the team attracting attention and then him kind of sliding into whatever open space. He likes to work from that high post as well. So I think those are the areas where the Bulls can and should do more of that. Because I will say the one thing, when Vooch gets the ball, like, it doesn't feel like it sticks very much. And I think that's probably our biggest criticism of Zach and DeMar at times, is the ball sticks a little bit too much or others just aren't in the flow of the action as much as with Vooch. So I agree it's fine, but like, nothing's changing here big picture. He's still going to be the number three option. Zach and DeMar are going to be the first two options pretty much all the time moving forward still.
And it's one thing post-game for the observation of that to be made by Billy Donovan and how the offense looks best when the ball is moving and when everyone's getting touches and everybody's involved, and DeMar can talk about it, Zach can talk about it. Do you have a sense for why that portion of the offense is so inconsistent with the Bulls? That flow, that ball movement, regardless of who's in and out of the lineup, it just seems that's just so obvious that they function better when that's the case. Do you have a sense for why it is so inconsistent?
Yeah, I mean, it's might sound a little brutal, but Zach and DeMar are a little too isolation heavy and overlap in their strengths a little bit too much offensively, right? Like, these are offensive first guys who are very good in one-on-one situations for different reasons. DeRozan, because he's excellent in the mid-range, really smart, can draw fouls. Zach, because of his explosiveness and his catch-and-shoot ability to just rise up and go over people. But at the same time, like, these guys are not – you look at some stars in the NBA and you think about how Giannis and Jokic, like, really raise the level of play of all four other guys on the court at all moments in the game with how they play and create space for others. This is a little just intangible, but you don't get that feeling with Zach and DeMar in the same way. And look, that's why they're not superstars. It's why they're regular all-stars and not top five guys in the NBA, top 10 guys in the NBA. So there's just a little bit too much overlap there. And then when you throw Vooch in there, like, you got three guys that need the ball first to really do what they do best. And that's probably just too much overlap. So that's why it feels like for the Bulls, right? Sometimes when two of those three guys are out there and maybe an extra defender who's pretty good, another guy to stretch the floor out there, that's why it feels a little better. But at the same time, you get to that point and look, then you don't have quite enough high-end talent to really beat the best team sometimes, and you don't have enough talent to probably be much more than just make some noise in the first round of the playoffs or something like that. So I think a lot of it just goes back to roster construction and overlapping strengths don't enhance each other as well as other combinations do in the NBA.
Yeah, it's tough because you know what the issue is, but then, like you just mentioned, that issue could lead to more issues if you try to fix it in real time. That's the worst part about it. We're talking to Cody Westerlund here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez along with Anthony Herron. Cody, if you look at the Bulls' schedule, like, you know, after, you know, Golden State, you know, starting with Detroit, I don't want to say a soft landing, but games that you feel like could kind of get them on the other side or closer to 500 than they are, do we think that the Bulls are at a place now in the season that they can take advantage of some of these teams that they should be beating? Or do you feel like every game is just going to be, you know, the same thing, like a crapshoot? You're just not really sure what you're going to get.
I think it's going to be a little better. This Bulls team has beat too many good teams this year, in my opinion, to continue to play poor teams so poorly again and again, right? Like, I think that just has to improve a little bit incrementally. So that's why, like you said, I mean, they have a really key stretch coming up here against inferior competition. When you host the Hawks, visit the Pacers, then they got the Hornets, they got the Magic, the inconsistent Clippers, they got the Hornets again. Like, this is a wonderful opportunity for the Bulls to climb a couple games over 500. And again, got to take care of business, but it feels like that should improve a little bit, if for no other reason than they are reaching more of a breaking point and pressure point in the season, in part because the February 9th trade deadline looms, in part because this team does want to see what they can accomplish, and they no longer can go out there and trot out that we have plenty of time, like, excuse. It's half the past the halfway point of the season. So I do think they will improve a little bit, but I mean, if you're talking about, like, is this team going to rise into the top six and be really good for the last couple months of the regular season and earn a traditional playoff spot? No, I don't think that. I think they will improve a little bit here, and I think they will solidify themselves a little bit more in that 7-10 play-in range.
There was a lot of questions from the assembled media there in Paris about the bonding experience that this trip could end up being for the Bulls. And I feel like part of that was just born from, you know, a couple of things that have come up this season, most notably the supposed, you know, kind of interaction in the locker room. Guys are shouting matches and all that kind of stuff afterwards. And it does seem that maybe that galvanized the lineup a little bit. And now this trip to Paris, where you get some together time and the families are hanging out and all those things. Do you feel like this is a team right now that's at a fairly cohesive stage, or might there still be some fractures that need to be worked out?
No, I think they're fairly cohesive in their personalities and understanding of one another as teammates and friends. I just don't think they fit well enough on the court, and that they have some defensive deficiencies that it doesn't matter how happy-go-lucky you are with your teammates. And I mean, that's a great point, Vigant. Like, the Bulls are 10-6 since they all yelled at Zach LaVine in the locker room, right? Like, that's much better than they had been playing. They dropped to 11-18 on that afternoon with the ugly loss against the Timberwolves back in December. So that has been improved. I don't think the personal issues are – I don't think there are any personal issues, I should say, regarding that. I mean, there's on-court frustration about some weaknesses, but I think they are past that point of being irritated with effort level and stuff like that. Like, that to me hasn't reared its head really at all here in the past few weeks. Like, they've given a really good effort almost every single night, other than, I mean, they didn't play well at all in Washington, but I didn't feel like that was like an effort type thing. That was just atrocious offense for some stretches and cold offense. So I do think they're past that point, to answer your question.
That's good. I'm really glad to hear that. Cody, before I let you go, I just want to know, do you think about a player that's on the roster right now that is not going to be with the Bulls at the end of the season?
Ooh, good question, right? The Bulls didn't do anything at the trade deadline last year. It feels like they need to do something this year. I would have said Coby White probably a month or two ago, right? Because he has been shopped. And I think I'll say Coby White, too, as the most likely to be gone just because he has restricted free agency coming up. The Bulls do have a lot of money committed to Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, and then Ayo Dosunmu has proved that he can be a capable rotation player in the NBA and will probably be cheaper for the Bulls and is a little younger there. So Coby White, probably, if you're asking me, like, most likely to be traded. But he has played really well over these past few weeks. And, like, he's changed. Coby's changed my opinion of him this year because so much of what he did before, there were defensive lapses the past few years. There were empty calorie plays on offense. Like, he had 8 points to start the fourth quarter for the Bulls today.
Big threes.
And that's why the Bulls kept up like a 12 to 14, 16 point lead instead of having that rut where they could have been 6 or 7 and then you're in trouble. Like, he's making big shots. Like, he's making plays 2 or 3 times a game where I'm like, oh dang, that play, that was really good. That was a big play. And he hadn't been doing that. So, like, he deserves a lot of credit, but maybe you can get something for him. And they do have to turn this roster over at some point, somehow. And I don't think he's going to be a starter for him. So if you can get something out of him on the trade market, it might be worth it. But then you can argue, too, like, he's one of their good high-volume three-point shooters, and they don't have enough, right? Like, that's the thing with the Bulls. They don't have enough two-way players. Everyone's got a strength and weakness. So I think maybe Coby. I don't think they'll trade Vooch just because you're not going to get much in the NBA market for a center, right? I think the front office does want to see what this team can do the rest of the year. They need him to do that. And then the flip side was there wouldn't be a trade offer, in my opinion, for Vooch that's worth it. Like, no one's walking out there, like, with an unprotected first-round pick. It would probably be, like, a top 24 protected first-round pick or a second-round pick. And that's just not going to move the needle that much, I don't think. So even though Vooch has unrestricted free agency looming, I think he'll still be here if I had to guess. So that just leaves me at Coby White, even though he's playing better for him.
Yeah, I agree. I do think Vooch is going to be some guy that sticks around. And Coby White just sucks because we often forget that he's only 22. Like, he turns 23 in the middle of February, but he's 22 years old. I mean, he still has, you know, just to become a grown man and your game, you know, evolves, you know, especially at that age when you reach that mid-20s. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Cody, appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, man. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Anytime. You guys take care.
Love hearing that. Cody Westerlund, of course, our sports editor here at 670 The Score. Also our Bulls insider as well. All right. And on the other side, I got into an argument. No, not an argument. I got into a disagreement.
I got to break out my brass knuckles or what?
No, because it's my wife. I got into a disagreement with my wife. But it has to do with LeBron James and the Chicago Bulls. I'll tell you what our argument is about. And then I want to get your opinion on what you guys think of what we were discussing. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Heron, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
LeBron James.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.